We're going to start at the bottom of Kuvvet Amud Bet by the two dots. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Menashe, Yesh Lo Chelek L'Olam Haba. So Rabbi Yehuda disagrees and says Menashe does have a Chelek L'Olam Haba. Shenemar, Vayit Paleo Menashe, doesn't say El Hashem in the Pasuk, it says Vayit Paleo Menashe Elav, Vayetar Lo. So Menashe beseeches praise to Hashem, and Hashem responds to him. So this is at the end of his life. The question of whether Menashe did tshuva or didn't do tshuva. And if he did tshuva and he reaches out to Hashem and Hashem responds to him, so that's an assumption that he did tshuva and he was able to mikabel olam haba. Rabbi Yochanan, Ushneim mikra echad dershu. Rabbi Yochanan says that both opinions, Rabbi Yehuda's opinion says he does have olam haba, and the Chachamim's opinion that says he does not have olam haba, they both are deriving it from the same pasuk, Shinemar, Unetatim leza'ava dechol mamlechot aretz. I'll make you a horror for all the kingdoms of the land. Beglau Menashe ben Chizkiyahu, because of what Menashe ben Chizkiyahu did. Marsavar Beglau Menashe shasa tshuva v'inu lo avud. So what does it mean because of Menashe? Is it because Menashe did tshuva? And his doing tshuva, whereas Bnei Yisrael did not do tshuva, that's what condemns them to this awful end? Or the other way around? Marsavar Beglau Menashe lo avad tshuva. No, it's because of Menashe himself. It's literally because of Menashe. That's why this punishment will be brought upon them, because Menashe himself did such evil things after his father Chizkiyahu had led such a tremendous tshuva movement. The fact that Menashe reverses all of that and sends Bnei Yisrael down the path of Avodah Zarah, that's why they're going to be punished. Rabbi Yochanan, Kol Omer Menashe Lo Chelek L'Olam Haba, Mirafei Yedeihem Shel Balei Tshuva. So Yochanan says, anybody who says Menashe doesn't have a Chelek L'Olam Haba, he weakens the hands of the Balei Tshuva, which is a concept that is actually brought up in other places, other aspects actually brought in the Birkat Kohanim, right? That there are two types of Kohanim that are psulim for Birkat Kohanim. One is a Kohen Shaharag et Nefesh. Kohen who is a murderer is not allowed to dochin if he has dam al yadayim, if he has blood on his hands, he's not allowed to dochin. Right? Again, there that Shaila is asked about, which we discussed in the past, whether if he's gone to war, in a car accident, so on and so forth. But the other instance where a Kohen is pasul from Birkat Kohanim is in a case where he has converted to a foreign religion, if he has chosen to go with another religion. And this was a big issue during the Middle Ages, that many Kohanim were forced under duress, right, to give in to become Christians, because of the duress placed on them by the local church or by the local community. And therefore, they converted to Christianity. Later on, they decided to do tshuva and they come back. When they come back, technically, some Kohen who served outside of the Mikdash, forbidden in another religion, is not allowed to serve in the Mikdash. And that should post-sell them from Birkat Kohanim. It's a Gemara at the end of Sota. It's an explicit Gemara that a Kohen is Pasul. Pasul, one who were worshipped in Beit Chunyo, cannot worship in the Beit HaMikdash anymore. Yet the Rishonim over there say that if you tell a Kohen that when he comes back he won't be a Kohen, he won't be able to duchen anymore, then you have stopped him, you're going to cause him not to want to return to being a Jew, return to being a Baal Tshuva, because he'll be a Baal Tshuva, but he'll be embarrassed. So you're omeid, you're doing something that will cause a wall or break between this individual doing tshuva by not allowing him to be duchen. So many of the Rishonim say, despite the fact that the Gemara says that he can't duchen, that he's allowed, some of the poskei Ashkenaz, it's a big machlokas, say that he can duchen and he can go back to being a regular kohen, because otherwise, we say in the chadavar shel made bifnei baal tshuva, there's nothing that stands before baal tshuva. And over here, Rabbi Yochanan is making such a statement. We don't want to do things that stop people or weaken people's ability to do tshuva. And that's what Rabbi Yochanan says. If you say Menashe doesn't have chelek olam haba, then people will be afraid that even if you sinned, if you've done things that are wrong, that you can't come back. If Menashe can come back, then it's a siman that anybody can come back. So it's important. We do all these things. We make efforts to show and to encourage the individuals to do tshuva and to say that there is value in doing tshuva. The Tani Tanei Kamei de Rabbi Yochanan Menashe asad tshuva 33 shanim. The Menashe did tshuva for 33 years. Dichtiv ben 12 shana Menashe b'malko, that he came to power, came to rule in the 12 when he was 12 years old. 55 shana malach b'Yerushalayim. He ruled for 55 years Vayas Ashira Kashir Asa Achav Melech Yisrael. He made this Ashira just like Achav Melech Yisrael. So Kama Malach Achav. How long did Achav rule for Esrim V'Tartin Shnin? That's for 22 years. Menashe Kama Malach Chamishim V'Chamesh. He'd rule for 55 years. So if you say Menashe was like Achav, that would be equivalent to the 22 years of Achav. So therefore, Dal Minai Esrim V'Tartin, take away the 22 years he was like Achav, Pashlu Tlatin V'Tlat. That remains 33, right? 55 years of total rule, 22 like Achav. That leaves him 33 years where he was doing tshuva. So that's the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan believes that Menashe did do tshuva. And for the latter 33 years of his reign, he was actually a positive king, and he was a king that did tshuva and tried to bring the people back to tshuva. I'm Rabbi Yochanan Mishim Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. My dechtiv. What does it mean when it says? Again, this whatever is quoted here in the Gemara is not found in the Divrei Yamim. What is found there is Vayatar Lo Vayishmat Chinato. Right. So then the Gemara says about this Vayatar Lo Mibayle. It should have said Vayatar Lo. Well, guess what? That is what it says there. That's what it says in Divrei Yamim. Obviously, they had a different girsa, or there was something right, different about theirs, that they had Vayechater Lo. Vayechater Lo that was found in Dibrei Yamim. Rashi, if you look in the headers in Rashi, it's the last wide line up at the top of Rashi, it says Vayishma Ilav Vayechater Lo. Again, in our puzzle, it's reversed. It's Vayechater Lo Vayishma Tchinato. And number two is that the word that's found in our Dibrei Yamim is Vayechater Lo, not Vayechater Lo. But be that as it may, the Gemara assumes that there is Vayechater Lo and asks, why does it use the term Vayechater Lo rather than Vayechater Lo? So the Gemara says, Vayechater Lo mi bayi. That's what it should have said. Malameit, Shasa Lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu min machteret. So why does it use Vayechater? Chater means that he dug, he channeled, he dug a furrow through Berekiah, Kedei Lekablo B'Tshuva B'Midat Adin, to allow Menashe to come back. That Mitzad Midat Adin, Menashe should not have been allowed to do Tshuva. Nevertheless, the Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted to afford an individual who wanted to do tshuva and was open to doing tshuva. Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted to give him that opportunity, and therefore Yechter Lo, he dug him a channel that allowed him to bypass the Midat Adin and get back and do tshuva. Whether that was because of Rabbi Yochanan's original statement, because we want to give encouragement to other Balei Tshuva, maybe in Ochanami, Menashe shouldn't have been allowed to do Tshuva, but Hashem, by showing that he could do Tshuva, encourages others to do Tshuva, to show there's never a hopeless situation where an individual can't do Tshuva, a person can't give up hope. Reconciling in terms of the Yirsa that is found in Divrei Yamim versus what we have in the Gemara, we have that in other places where the Gemara seems to have a different word, whether that's just meaning a drash or is a kri and ktiv that we don't have, it's unclear from the Gemara over here. Alright, now, why does it say in Yirmiyahu, Bereshit Mamlechot Yehoyakim ben Yoshiah, Uchtiv Bereshit Mamlechet Tzidkiah? It's over here, it says Bereshit, in the beginning of, and in the beginning of. When Yirmiyahu comes to give Nevuah in their reigns, had they not reigned already? I mean, what do you mean Bereshit? That this was only the beginning of their reign? That's not the case. It wasn't the beginning of the reign. Ella. Because of the evil that Yoakim had done, Shem wanted to return the world to Tov Vavo, back to its state before Maseh Bereshit. So that always means the word of me, right, Bereshit means he wanted to send it back to Maseh Bereshit prior to Maseh Bereshit. Niskagel b'dorao, but he saw the generation, v'nitkarara dato. Hashem was calmed, right, from his anger. Here you have a king who is doing evil, and a generation who is positive. How do we know the generation is positive? So if you remember, we have a drasha in the Gemara that in the time of the first set of a galut, there are a number of galiyot that happened until the galut of Tzidkiyahu when the Beit HaMikdash is destroyed. In the earlier galiyot, as part of that galut, it says that Hashem sent Masger and Cheresh into galut when it came to the first series of galiyot. So the Gemara darshins on the Cheresh and Masger, that those were the Talmidei Chachamim and the Tzaddikim. That Hashem sends them ahead to Bavel. They're sent into Galut in Bavel before the destruction of the Mikdash, in order to reestablish Torah, the Batei Midrashot, the Batei Knessiot in Bavel, so there will be a community there, and a Torah thriving community that will accept the Galut after the destruction of the Mikdash. So those were the Cheresh and the Masger. So at this point in time, when we're talking about the beginning, in Yoyakim's rule, they were still in Eretz Yisrael. So we know there were tzaddikim in the door, because they're going to later be put into Galut and establish the community in Babel. So at this point in time, they're still found in Babel, in Yerushalayim, in Eretz Yisrael. And that's what it says here. Yoyakim was evil, but the door was positive, or there were those that were tzaddikim in the door, and they protected the door. On the other hand, by came of Tzidkiyahu, it was the opposite way around. Right, because Bikesh Hakadosh Baruch Hu Gzirat Olam Kulo L'Tov Vavo Bishvil Doro Shel Tzidkiyahu Yistakel B'Tzidkiyahu V'Nitkarer Adato. Also the opposite way around, which is in the door of Tzidkiyahu there were no more tzaddikim left. Why? Because they all had left in the earlier Galiot of Yoyakim and Yoyachin. They've been put into Galut much earlier. And since they're put into Galut much earlier to establish in Bavel, there's nobody left in Eretz Yisrael. And the Tzaddikim and the Talmid Chachamim are not left in Eretz Yisrael at the time. So that door is an evil door. So Hashem wants to destroy everything because of that door. Yet, they're protected by Tzidkiyahu HaMelech. Right? So Tzidkiyahu HaMelech protects them. Why is it that Tzidkiyahu protects them? It says, Tzidkiyahu Namiktiv. It says, Vayasara Beinei Hashem. That he was doing evil in the eyes of Hashem. If he's doing evil in the eyes of Hashem, how could you say that Tzidkiyahu protected the generation? So Gemara answers, "Shaya b'del limchot v'lo micha." It's very, this Gemara does this in numerous places, that many times the Gemara assigns culpability and responsibility for an item, even though the person themselves didn't do it, but because they had the ability to stop those that were doing and they didn't stop them, they're considered responsible for it. So it's over here. Tzidkiyahu was the king, he's responsible for the door. If the door goes off the track, off the beaten path, and is Ra, then he should have done something about it, because he had influence, he was the king. The fact that he didn't do something, he's held accountable for that door and their sins. And that's why it says, V'eresa Ra b'nei Hashem, not that he did Ra b'nei Hashem, but rather, the generation was doing Ra b'nei Hashem. This just raises it's a general question, right, in Malachim, and you can see over here that there's both sides of the coin. Is it the king that influences the generation, or the generation that influences the king? I mean, which way does it go? You can have kings that are evil with the generations positive, or good kings with the negative generation. So who do we expect to influence? Is it that when the generation is good, they get a good king? Right? Or is it when the king is good, he brings the generation to a point of being good? And so that's a good question. Say from Lachim, here you can see the tension between the two sides, that sometimes the king is good and the people are evil, or the other way around, that the king is evil and the people are good. Right now, I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Shimon Bayochai. So we have a series of these membrot that are coming from Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Shimon Bayochai, Ma'ariv Tiv. What does it say? Ish Chacham Nishpat et Ish Evil V'ragaz V'sachak V'einachat. So that the Ish Chacham contends with the wise man, contends with the foolish man, V'ragaz, and gets angry, V'sachak, and is, there's laughing at, or I don't know, chiding, V'einachat, and there's no peace. So I got angry at Achaz, right? So the king of Judah, and I gave him over to the Malchei Damesek. I gave him over to the kings of Damesek, of Damascus. Ziveach v'kiter Eloheim. And then he goes ahead and he sacrifices to their gods. Shinemar, because it says, Vayizbach Lelohei Darmesek. Hamakim bo vayomer ki Elohei Malchei Aram heim ma'azrim otam. Vahem ezabeach v'yazruni v'emayu lo l'achshilo u'dechol Yisrael. So here the Ragaz, the anger is here. Achaz is being besieged and attacked by the Damesek, the people of Damesek. And when he's being attacked by those from Aram and Damesek, he says, listen, they're being successful in their battles. They're winning the wars. So what should I do? How do I solve the problem? How do I also win the wars? You know what? We'll take on their gods. So he basically adopts the gods of the attackers and says, well, if it's helping them to win the war, then it should help me to be protected if I take their gods. And that's exactly what he does over there. Zivech v'kter l'lehem. He went ahead and he sacrificed to their gods because of his claim. He says, well, k'lohei malchei aram, hei mazrim otam. The Elohei Aram, the gods of Aram are helping them right now. They're succeeding in battle. So lehem azabeach. I may as well go ahead and sacrifice them. Be'ezruni and help me. Right? Then the Pasuk says about this, that was not the case. But they ended up tripping him up and all of Israel because they were wrong. Right? Hashem was bringing around the punishment in order to punish them for the evil they had done, not to encourage them to do avodah zarah. That's one side of the coin. The other side of the coin is sichakti mamatzio. He came to Amatzi, v'natati malchei adom biyodo. He succeeds in battle. Amatzi goes out to battle and is very successful in battle. And the Melech Yehuda wins against Edom. And when he comes back from the waning of the battle against Edom, he brings back their gods and bows down to them. Shnemar. After he came back from conquering Edom, he brings down the god, back the gods of Seir, and he makes them for a god for them. He bows to them, and to them he sacrifices. So that's the, you have two sides of the coin. Here, they both adopted Avodah Zarah, one in a case where they were losing, and one in a case where they were successful. Here you have one king of Yehudah is very successful in battle. So instead of thanking Hashem for being successful in battle, what does he do? He goes in and takes the gods of those that he conquered, and he worships the gods of those that he conquered. So that's what it means, sichakti, right? That I was good to Amatzia. I was laughing, I was positive with Amatzia, nevertheless, he went and worshipped Avodah Zarah. The other hand, by Achaz, it's the opposite way around. Achaz is under pressure. He's being besieged inside of Yerushalayim, he's being attacked. So instead of going turning to Hashem, what is he doing? He turns to the gods of the attackers. And that's what means kiasti. I was angry at Achaz, and I was bringing out the evil on him, and instead of him turning to me, he goes and turns to the Avodah Zarah. So this is a negative that Ish Chacham Nishpat is referring to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, right? That a Kodesh Baruch Hu is the Ish Chacham Nishpat at Ish Evil. He has to deal with these foolish people. These are these two kings. One he was Ragaz and one he was Sachak. Each one of them he dealt with, right, in a different way. Ve'inachat, and he gets nothing from it. They both ended up going and worshipping Avodah Zarah. And that's Hainu Damra Inshi. That's what Rabbi Baba says. This is a common phrase, common saying amongst people. V'chile lamar delo yada, chaychile lamar delo yada. A person who doesn't realize or can't differentiate between someone who's crying in front of them and someone who is laughing in front of them, or someone who's crying and someone's laughing, they don't know how to differentiate him. Then he doesn't violate the mar. That's a woe to that individual. Or the man delo yada ben tav the bish. He doesn't know the difference between good and bad. So the same expression over here. These individuals, they didn't recognize why bad was happening to them, or they didn't recognize why good had happened to them, and they're going after Avodah Zarah. So too, an individual who doesn't recognize the difference between, you know, the crying, or the difference between laughing in front of them, they don't know how to tell the difference between what's good and what's bad, to make differentiations, to understand good and evil. They're, well, it's to those individuals. That's exactly what happens to those two kings. Right, so now we have a pasuk in Yirmiyahu, Vayivo, Kol Sarei Melech Bavel, Vayishvu B'Shar HaTovech. It says that all the right, princes or the generals of Melech Bavel come and sit in Shara Tavach. This is after Nebuchadnezzar comes in and is breaking into the city. Right, the Psukim are talking about here around the time of Tisha B'Av and the Shiva Sabbatam and Tisha B'Av. So then he says that they all came and they sat around, and, you know, as their part of their victory, they sat around the Shara Tavach, and the what's Tavach should be the middle gate. They sit in the middle gate. The place that they used to cut the alachot, I mean the place they used to paskin alacha, that's where they sat down. So the Vayishvu B'Shar HaTovech, Tovech also means, can mean middle, or Tovech can mean to slice or to cut. So what does it mean? They cut the alacha. So the Shar, if you remember, we had earlier in the Gemara in Sanhedrin that the Batei Dinim sat at the different Sharim. Right, there was one at the Shar HaZarah, one at the Shar HaZarat Yisrael, and then in Lishkat HaGazit. So this is the idea here that they said in the Shara Tovech, they sat in the same place where the Bet Din had sat, or where the Beit Din HaGadol had sat prior to this point in time. Right, they didn't sit in the Shara. But Rashi at least quotes over here, that he quotes, first of all, that Chaynu Behara Bayit Ubazara, Sheshama Yoshvim Sanhedrin, and all those places. And then he quotes, Gimel Batei Dinim, Ayusham, Echad Lishkat HaGazit, Vechal Petach HaZara, Vechal Petach HaBayit. So at first he only talks about the two Sharim, but then he quotes all three of those areas. But they sat in all the areas where the Batei Dinim were. I think that's the intent of the Pasuk. And that's what he says, Haina Damra Inche, this is Amar Papa, this is what the common thing, or common among people, is that Asher Damara Tolu Le Zayne, in the location that his master hangs up his weapons, Taman Kuba Rayo. So over here, the word Kuf, it's not clear what the word Kuba means, maybe with a Kuf of Kalbarayo, you know, the awful or the evil shepherd, right, or the evil shepherd or the dog shepherd, right, there hangs up, Kute Tala, he hangs up his jug or his pitcher. Meaning that in the same place where the Adon, the master, had held, put up his weapons, meaning that something of Chashivut, you're talking about a master and you're talking about his weapons, then the lowly shepherd afterwards comes and hangs up his little jug or his little pitcher. So the same place where there was greatness before is now being left to, right, the lowlives. So same thing over here. The place where the Batei Dinim sat before, and the Batei Din said before, where there was Torah and Halacha, along comes now sit down the Sarei Bavel, those individuals, right, the lowlives and the ones who are conquering the evil people, and they're replacing that which was there before the Sanhedrin. All right, now the Pasuk says in Mishlei, Amar Rav Chista, Amar Rav Yirmiyahu Ba'ava, my dechti, why does it say, Astei ish atzel avarti, I passed by the field of a lazy man, Valkirim Adam Chasar Lev, and the vineyard of someone who is lacking a heart. Hine ala kulo kim shonim. It's all become, it's been overgrown by thorns. Kasupana charulim, they're nettles that have covered the, right, the face of the earth. Begeder avanav ne'asa, and the wall or the fence of stones has been destroyed. And that's what he is, a field that's been left fallow, been left defunct. This is what's going to happen. It's going to be overgrown with weeds and thorns and nettles, and it's going to turn, the walls that used to surround it are going to all fall down. So now Gemara is going to dash in. What does this mean? Asde ish atzelavarti. Who's that? Ze achaz. Now, I'm not, the Gemara later on the second half of the Gemara, Adaf, is going to explain what each one of them did that was evil, and how they increased the evil. So I'm going to leave that as a given here, and then we'll get to that in the second half of the Adaf. So it's asde ish atzelavarti ze achaz. Valkerim adam chaselev ze menashe. Vine ala kulo kim shonim ze amon. Kasupanav cherulim ze yo yakim. So that the wall, when you're talking about that the wall fell down, or the wall was destroyed, that's a reference to Tzidkiyahu, because the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed in his time. As opposed to the others, where the Gemara seems to implying that they did negative, that they were evil, we just said before that Tzidkiyahu was not an evil king. So for him, the Mashal is not about the evil that he did, but rather the fact that the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed in his time. And the Gemara, or the Pasuk, is talking about successive kings that do evil, but each one does more evil than the previous king, and that's what we'll see on the second half of today's daf. There are four groups of people, or four groups of individuals, that are not entitled to be mekabel, to greet the presence of Hashem. Who are they? Katleitzim, right? The groups or individuals who are frivolous. Kat shakranim, those that lie. Kat chanefim, those that are hypocrites. And kat misafrei lashon hara, those that speak lashon hara. So you see the company that those that speak lashon hara keep. You know, they're listed amongst the groups of leitzanim, right? Shakranim and chanefim, and then you have lashon hara. It's so many people, I mean, would never consider themselves part of the other groups, yet, right, they are, unfortunately, because the sin of lashon hara is so prevalent and so difficult to overcome, that they are found in the kat misafrei lashon hara. Kat leitzim dichtiv. How do we know that? Dichtiv mashach yado et lo tzim. Shem pulls back his hand, right, from the scoffers, from those that are leitzim. Kat shakranim. How do you know from the kat shakranim, those that are liars? Dichtiv, because it says that osim mirman dover shkarim lo yikon neged einai. Those that people that speak lies will not be established in front of my eyes. They are not allowed to stand before me. Kat chanefim. How do I know that? Those are hypocrites. Dichtiv ki gilol defanav chanef yavo. Because before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, chanef, those that are hypocrites will not come. Kat misaprei lo shana ra. How do we know that they're not able to be mekabel pnei shkinah? Dichtiv ki lo kel chafetz resha. You are not a God who wants to see evilness. Lo yigur chara. Nobody, evil will not be in your presence, will not live amongst you. So here, actually, in this pasuk itself, there's really no indication that this is talking about lashon hara. Turns out that there are two other psukim in that perek in Sefer Tehillim that discuss about speaking or lashon hara, which is that the pasuk afterwards says, Tovei dovrei kazav ishtamim. So dovrei kazav, those that speak, right, lies or untruths or, right, evil, illness. And then earlier on in the, an additional pasuk in that same parak is that kibram havot kevar patuach, patuach bronam, that their insides were like a open grave, their throats, meaning that their mouths were like an open grave, that which came out of them was not appropriate. So there, that's, in that context, it says, kilo kel chafetz resha'ata lo yigur chara. Those types of people can't live amongst you and can't, be in your presence. Because you're a tzaddik, therefore there should be no evil in your presence. What does it mean? Right, that no bad should befall you, and all plagues will not come into your ohel. What does it mean that no evil shall befall you? Becha Yetzer Hara, that the Yetzer Hara should not rule over you. So that's what it means. Lo to an echara. Benegalo yikob alecha, shalot imsa yishtecha safek nida b'shara shetavom in aderch. When you come home from a long trip, you shouldn't find your wife to be a safek nida. Which is interesting, as Rashi points out here, this amazing psychology of individuals, that had his wife been a vada nida, there would be nothing to talk about. She's a vada nida, there's nothing to talk about. She's the asura, so there's nothing to discuss. So why is safek different? Because by safek, a person can talk themselves out of the situation. They can say, listen, I'm not sure. She could be tohar, she could be tamei. Why am I making such an effort to hold myself back? Right, in the case where maybe it isn't, I don't need to hold myself back, it could be it's a safek. And therefore a person is matir for themselves. And that's why we say in generally that kashe safek min avadai. That the safek is always more difficult from the vadai. Here we have it from the side of justifying an action or justifying a chait. The other side, the Gemara says the same thing when it comes to kaparat chait. When it comes to doing kapara, if a person does a vadai chait, it's easier for them to do tshuva and to do kapara because they know they did something wrong. Once they know they said something wrong, vadai, they know they need to do kapara. And then when it's a safek, again, they can talk themselves, maybe I didn't do it, maybe I really didn't do it, do I really need to do tshuva? I wasn't doing something bad. Person talks themselves out of doing tshuva because they say, I really didn't do anything wrong, right? Because they have a safek. So that's the nature of human beings, that when it comes to safek, uncertainties, there is when they get trapped or they, right, talk themselves into the wrong conclusion. And that's why over here we say that Hashem should protect you from such sfeikot. Shouldn't be plagued with bad dreams or nightmares, right? Or bad thoughts. That you shouldn't have a child or a student that acts disgracefully in public. So those are the different options over here, meaning that this is another way to view lotu nechara, which is don't have nightmares and bad thoughts, hirim raim, and negalei kabalecha is that they shouldn't have somebody, ohalecha, referring to your tent. Tent means family. So over here it means the ben and the tamid chacham. So in one case they use ohalecha to refer to your children, in another case they use ohalecha to refer to your wife. And the ra'ah that we're talking about here, one time we talked about the ra'ah, which is hurim ra'im and chalomot ra'im. The other case, we talk about ra'ah being the yetzer hara. So now the Gemara says, ad kan birkat aviv, or bircho aviv. This is the type of bracha. These pesukim refer to the bracha that a father would give to a child. So we are talking about David speaking to Shlomo HaMelech. That's what Rashi says, mistama. It's David speaking to his son Shlomo. But until here, these are the things that a father would worry about. Whether it's the Yetzer Hara, whether it's finding his wife, Safek Nida, right, whether it's talking about a child or a Talmid and talking about Hirurim Raim, all these are items that a father would address towards a child. These are concerns of a father. From there point forward is the Brach of his mother, which deals with more esoteric or abstract issues, because Gemala Chavitz Avalach, Shmorcha b'chol derechecha, Hashem should command his malach to watch over you and to watch all your ways. Al kapayim yisa'uncha, he'll carry you on his palms. Al shachal v'fet and tidroch, he will protect you from the viper and the lion. Right, so that's talking about his mother. His mother, who is more concerned about the fears that something will go wrong for a child, prays to Hashem that he should be saved from anything that comes upon him. All bad that should come, he should be saved from. Then ad kan birkato imo. This until this point is where his mother gave him a bracha. Mikan ve'elech birkato shemaim. From this point forward, it's a kodesh bracha giving a bracha to the individual here to Shlomo Melech, because it says ki vi chashak. Because you have yearned for me, vafalteyu, therefore I will deliver him, asagveyu, I will elevate him, ki adashmi, because he knows my name, ikraini, he will call me, veneyu, and I will answer him, imil anochi bitzara, I'm with him in the pain that he is facing, or the afflictions that he has, achotseyu, I will release him, I will take care of him, bishuati, with my salvation. So here, if you're talking about the different sections of bracha, you have a bracha from the father, you have a bracha from the mother, and then a bracha from a kodesh baruch hu. Right? Each one addressing the area or their tchum, which is that the father focuses on the right, practical issues and the actions of the individual. The mother focuses on the outside, meaning that individual that will come to hurt the child, and she prays that the child will be protected from these outside influences and the outside evil. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu says that because you've stuck by me, I will take care of you. That Hashem can make that commitment that he will take care of you because of the connection that you have to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. What does it mean in the pasuk? That he withheld from those that are evil their light. Uzroa rama, and the arm that is raised up, tishaver, will be broken. Why is it in the pasuk? If you look in the pasuk in Iyov, that in Rishaim the ayin is pluya, is hanging, not hanging down, but up. It's like a superscript, right? The ayin is pushed up along the word. It's actually out of the plane of the word, and it sticks upward. Why is that? Once a person comes poor down below, he becomes poor above. So that's what it means, Rishaim. You take out the ayin, it becomes Rashim, poor. Why? Because if you are Rashim, then you become a Rasha. If you're poor down below, then you become a Rasha. What is poor down below? It doesn't mean monetarily poor. But Rashi says, if you look at the last white line of Rashi, she'yeshlo son'im ve'en ruach habriot nochemenu. When a person has a lot of enemies, and people do not enjoy his company, people have bad feelings towards this individual, that is an indication that he's a Rasha, he's not liked above. You know, if a person is not muravim abriot, is not able to have, you know, normal social relationships, and to have people, or the general people that he meets, do like him and enjoy him and do not hate him, then that's good. But if it's the opposite way around, that's an indication this individual is doing things that are wrong or evil, and therefore the people dislike him, and that will be an indication he's also a Rasha min ha-shamayim. So Gemara says, okay, so why did you raise it? So Gemara says, okay, if that's the case, lo nichtavei klal. If you want to make that drasha, just leave out the word ayin totally, and you'll have Rashim in plural. Rashim in plural just means poor people, or poor peoples, right? And therefore, if you have it in plural, you can say, okay, when that's a Rashim l'mata, if he's poor down below, he's poor up above, instead of using the word resha. So why do you have to write it at all, if that's the drasha? Gemara says, oh, because Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar, Charamai b'nei kvodo shel David, Charamai mishum kvodo shel Nechemya ben Chakliya. So that they were two people, there are exceptions to the case. Generally, when people dislike an individual, it's also an indication that Hashem doesn't like them either, or that Hashem dislikes them. That's generally the case. But in a case where there are exceptions, where somebody might be good, and nevertheless the people don't like them. Who are those exceptions? So the Gemara here gives you two exceptions. One was David HaMelech. Right, David HaMelech, the fact that he had many enemies, right? Nevertheless, he was classified as a tzaddik. So we don't want to condemn David, so therefore we have the ayin in there to say that's not true for everybody. Same thing with Nehemiah. Nehemiah also has enemies. Either Nehemiah has enemies because he goes to build the Beit HaMikdash up in Yerushalayim. Those, the people, the non-Jews that live in Yerushalayim, are very upset about the Binyan and Mikdash, and therefore they try to attack, or they plan or plot against Nehemiah. That's one possibility. The other possibility is that the people of Yehuda, the Jews themselves, disliked Nehemiah because he was trying to force them to do tshuva, to give up their foreign wives, and there are people in Yehuda that disliked his whole approach. But they disliked him not because he was doing wrong, but because of the right that he was doing and the good that he was doing. So those are exceptions to the rule. Since there are exceptions to the rule, the pasuk doesn't write it as a blanket rule or statement, puts in the ayin to say there are exceptions to the rule. And you have to know that there are sometimes exceptions. Right? Tanu Rabbanan. Menasheh yesh shoneh 55 panim b'torat kohanim keneged shnei malchuto. That Menasheh used to learn Torah, he was able to explain 55 different approaches to Torah Kohanim to Sefer Vayikra, connected the years of his Malchut. Rashi takes it even more literally and says that every year of his Malchut, he is Mechadish something, right, in the Sefer Vayikra. Achav 80 v'chamisha. Achav could do 85 new, right, approaches to Torah. Yeruvam 100 v'shalosha. And Yeruvam 103. So again, the idea here, the numbers, right, are not as meaningful, but the idea here that these are individuals who are well versed in Torah, knowledgeable, and yet they still rebel against the Kodesh Baruch Hu, they still go after Avodah Zarah. And that's why they're held accountable. We're talking about not just a Stam, a king, we're talking about kings that were Talmidei Chachamim. And despite their being Talmidei Chachamim, they still opt to go by the Derech HaRa'ah. And that's what we see over here, Tanya, Rabbi Meir, Avshalom, in lo chelek olam haba. The Rabbi Meir says that Avshalom doesn't have chelek olam haba. Shnemar, vayakub et Avshalom, vayimitu. They hit Avshalom, and they killed him. They hit him in this world, and they put him to death. Olam haba. Tanya, Rabbi Shimon Lazar Meir, Rabbi Shimon Rabbi Meir, Achaz v'Achaziah v'chol Malchei Yisrael. Ach and Achaziah, who were kings of Yehuda, and all the Malchei Yisrael, shekatu b'hem, that the Pasuk says, v'yas hara b'nei Hashem, that they did evil in the ways of Hashem, lo chayin v'lo nidonin. They do not live, but they also do not get judged. So lo chayin, Rashi says, lo yichlu di olam abayim tzadikim, they will not be brought back to life in olam abba with the tzadikim. Again, Rashi, not like the Rambam is talking about a physical olam abba, which it seems from Rashi over here. They also not punished in Geinom. But dafka kamar Malchei Yisrael. It's only true of Malchei Yisrael where it says Vayisu Ara. That's true of Malchei Yisrael plus the two kings from Yehuda that it mentioned, Achaz v'Achaziah. Otherwise, it's not true of the Malchei Yehuda. There are two Malchei Yehuda, which is written by. One of them is Shlomo Melech, which is Vayasara b'nei Hashem, and Tzidkiyahu HaMelech, which we just saw before, Vayasara b'nei Hashem, which we said was, he was held accountable for his generation because he did not stop them. But both of them that is written by Vayasara b'nei Hashem are not included in this category. They're not included in this lo chayin ve lo nidonin. So that's why they limited it to the two Malchei Yehuda and then all of Malchei Yisrael. V'gam dam naki shafach menashe harbe me'od. Menashe, not only did he worship but Avodah, he murdered lots of people. Ah, the Shem Yilei to Yerushalayim peh lepeh. They filled up Yerushalayim from mouth to mouth, but from one end to end, other end. Levad michatato asher chtiyat Yehuda. That's on top of the sin, the fact that he led Yehuda astray, lasot ha'ra me'enei Hashem, to do what was evil in the eyes of Hashem, that he caused them to worship Avodah Zarah. Hachat targirmiyu. What does it mean that he killed them until there was blood flowing through Yerushalayim? That the Gemara's first approach of the Bavli is Hachi Targumio Sharag Yishayahu, that he killed Yishayahu and Navi. B'marova Amre in Eretz Yisrael, they used to say Shasa Tzelem Masui Elef Min Adam. He made a pesal that required 1,000 men to carry it. B'chov Yom Yom Oregut Kulam, and they all died each day carrying this idol around or doing whatever they had to do. They were crushed by the load. They weren't able to survive. So that's what it means that there was dam, that there was all this blood everywhere. So Mara wants to know, if that is the case, Kaman Azlaha, who does this go like? Of those two opinions, who does this go like? The tzaddik, the neshama of one tzaddik is connected kol olam kulo. Kaman da Amar, who's that like? This is ke Yishayahu harag. According to one who says that Yishayahu he killed, because there it says that he killed numerous individuals, right? It says, Asher idam naki shafach menasher harbei ma'od. He kills lots and lots of people, yet we're talking about, according to that mandamra, only one person that was killed. Yishayahu, a Navi. So if Yishayahu, a Navi, is the only one killed, and it's talking about Harbei Ma'u, there are many, many right people killed, must be, according to the opinion, who says that a Neshama Tzaddik is connected Yisrael Kulo. So therefore, if it's, we're talking about the killed one Tzaddik, it's as if he killed many people of Klal Yisrael. Steve Pesel, over there it says in the Pasuk, in Divrei Yomim, it says, Pesel HaSemel, that he put up the Pesel HaSemel, Steve V'Apsilim. So in this case, he talks about the sins of Menashe, and over there it says, at one point it says that he put in the Pesel HaSemel in the Mikdash, that he put up the, you know, graven image in the Mikdash. Later on, it talks about all the sins, talks about all the things that he did, V'Apsilim, and mentions them in plural. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mitzkula Salo Partzuf Echad. In the beginning, he made the Avodah Zarah with one face. Sofa Salo Arba'a Partzufim. Afterwards, he made it with four faces. Kedei Shetresh China V'Tichos. So that Kodesh Baruch Hu would see it from wherever side he came, he would see it and he'd be angry. So I would have just interpreted that the Arba Panim or Arba Partzufim comes from the Maisa Merkava. Maisa Merkava has four sides or four faces that are associated with it. So if you'd ask me what he did over here, he originally made it with one face. And then when he wanted to make it even better, when he wanted to make it more like the Merkava, more like the Mikdash that Bnei Yisrael had, then he went ahead and made four parts of him, four faces to it. So now, Achaz himido ba'aliyah. Achaz put this pesel up in the aliyah, right in the upper chamber, Shnemar. Ve'et ha-mizbechot, asher al ha-gag, right, the mizbechot, the altars that were on the roof, aliyat Achaz, right, the attic of Achaz. So that attic of Achaz is where they put that pesel. On the other hand, Menashe put it into the Eichal itself. Shnemar, same with the pesel Hashira Hashasa b'bayit. He took the pesel Hashira that he made and he put it into the house. Hashira Amar Hashem al David velo Shlomo b'no b'bayit zeh v'Yerushalayim Hashem b'charti mikol shivtei Yisrael asim et shmi l'olam. They put it in the same place where Kodesh Baruch Hu said to David and Shlomo, this is my house. This is the place I've chosen. This is where I'm going to put my name forever. And there he goes ahead and puts the pesel right in the Eichal. Right? Amon ichnisal the Beit Kodesh Shei Hakodeshim. Amon brought it into the Kodesh Hakodeshim. Shneamar ki katzar hamatza. Right? The mat was too short. Mishtareya to stretch it out. Ramasecha and the cover tzara is too narrow or too small. Kihit kanes to cover the opening. I mean that here you have what otherwise would be covers, either a cover to a pot or a cover to the ground, and they're found wanting, they're found lacking in the sizing that you need. I was going to say that referred to the Kodesh HaKodeshim, because the miracle of the Kodesh HaKodeshim was the other way around. What was the miracle of the Kodesh HaKodeshim? That the Aron, that was bigger than the Kodesh HaKodeshim, fit into the smaller area of the Kodesh HaKodeshim. And here I have a Pasuk, so talking about the other way around, that they have something that is, you know, too small for the Kodesh HaKodeshim. What's too small? That would refer to the Avodah Zarah. So it's the antithesis of what the Shekhinah and the Shriyat HaShekhinah. The Shriyat HaShekhinah takes something that's too big and shrinks it down to fit into the Kodesh HaKodeshim. And here on the other end, you have something that's too small being placed into the Kodesh HaKodeshim. Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani, Rabbi Yochanan, ki katzar ha-matza, ze melishterer alav shnei reim. This mat is too small to keep two friends on it at once. What do you mean two friends on it at once? Meaning that is a Kodesh Baruch Hu and the Avodah Zarah. There's not enough room for both of us here. It's either me or them. And now you brought in the Avodah Zarah, you're kicking out Hashem, basically. What does it mean that the cover was too narrow? Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani, Rabbi Yonatan, ki yava matadai kro, when he got to this pasuk of a bachi, he was crying. Misha katabu, the one of who bad who it's written, Kodesh Baruch Hu, kones kenaid meayam, Rachel is in all the waters, taselo masecha tzara, that the cover will be too small for him, meaning that he'll have a masecha, which is rather here, the playing on the words is masecha, an image, will be a tzara. Tzara like in Yavamot. The tzara is the co-wife. Right, so it's over here. What? The Masecha is going to be a tzara for Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's going to be like a co-way for Kodesh Baruch Hu. But the one who said that Kones Kedim and Ayam, that great things are said about a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and here he's having problems with some Avodah Zarah. So Achaz bitel et Avodah v'chatam et Torah. Achaz stopped the Avodah, and chatam et Torah, he sealed the Torah, meaning that people were no longer knowledgeable in Torah. Shneamar. Because it says about him, Tzur Tuda, Chatom Torah Bilimudai. Let the warning be fastened and the teaching be sealed unto my students. So that's the idea of Chatom Torah means that he sealed the Torah. And Tzur Tuda is that he stopped, or they made a warning that they stopped the Avodah. Menashe kideret azkarot or aset the mizbeach. Menashe did one step further, is that he cut out the shemot Hashem, replaced him with Avodah Zarah. That's what we discussed yesterday in the Gadata. Right, that was his right. So over there we discussed it with Achaziah. Over here it's referred to as being Menashe, who did a very similar thing or similar sin. Aset the mizbeach, and he destroyed the mizbeach. Amon sarafet the Torah. Right, he burnt the Torah. Ve'ela shememit al gabi mizbeach. He burnt the Torah, and then he had cobwebs that were placed, or cobwebs that grew over the mizbeach from disuse. So that's what happened in there. Achaz yitir teirva. Achaz was matir arayot. Menashe balachoto. Menashe slept with his sister. Amon balimo, and Amon slept with his mother. Shenemar ki u Amon. He's Amon here. Ba ashma. His sins were great, or, you know, they were grievous sins. Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Lazar, Chadamar, she serafet the Torah, once it, because he burnt the Torah, but Chadamar, Sheba al Imo, that he slept with his mother. Amalo Imo, Klum Yeshachana, Mimakom Sheyatzat Mimeno. No person desires the place where they came from, no person desires their mother, so why are you doing this? Like Klum Aniyosel, Achisid Bori, says, I'm only doing this to anger my Creator. Kata Yo Yakim, when Yom came along, Amar Kamai, Lo Yadaila Guze, Klum. Right, my predecessors didn't know how to anger God. I'm going to put the cherry on top. I'm going to show you how to really anger God. Do we need a Kodesh Baruch Hu except for his light? You mean that all we need is the sun and the sunlight that he provides? Otherwise, we don't need him. We have this gold, this shiny gold that can replace the light of the sun. Let a Kodesh Baruch Hu take his sun and take off. Hey, they said to Yakim, Kesef is a Havshilohu. Isn't the gold and silver his? I mean, it all belongs to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So why do you say, all right, we don't need the sun. His sun, we have our gold. But the gold also belongs to Hashem, Shneemar, li chesef, li zav, num Hashem tzvakot. It's mine. The gold and silver are mine, Hashem says. So Amalem, kvar, nulono, Yochim responds, no, it was already given to us. Shneemar, v'shamayim, shamayim, l'Hashem, v'aretz, natan li bnei adam. Hashem, the skies or the heavens belong to Hashem. The earth, right, land belongs to man. If that's the case, the kesen zahav are mine. So I will have the zahav, my zahav will replace the sun of a Kadosh Baruch Hu for light. Two things I would just point out here in the Gemara. First of all, you see a progression in the evilness or the bad that was done by each of the kings. And now we're going to perform the Agadah to remember that even though Achav had done things that were much more evil or worse than Yeravam, Yeravam was credited with the evil of Achav because the Gemara says Yeravam started it. Yeravam started it, and therefore he's always the one that's given the blame for anything that happens. Now that's what you see here. See this idea that when someone starts down a path of evil and they open up the evil, they break down the barriers, and by breaking down the barriers, right, parade together is exactly that, or Amalek is the other example, Amalek who comes to attack them, karer, right, they cool off Bnei Israel, that idea that the first one changes the dynamic. By saying something, by doing something, they now make it less or more palatable for people to continue to sin, and things get worse and worse. But the one to blame when the compounding effect of the evil or the breach happens is the one who did it first. That's what we spoke about with Yeravam. That's what we say about Amalek. And it's the same thing that happens today in the political world when people want to do something that they know would not be acceptable to others. For instance, dividing up Yerushalayim. They'll start saying it. People will start saying, okay, we're going to divide up Yerushalayim. Even though it comes, it leaks out from the government that they're going to divide Yerushalayim. So that by the time it actually happens, months later, people are already inured to it. They've heard it. They didn't believe it at first. They said, no way. But then they kept hearing. They become inured to these types of things. And then when the person actually does it, people are not as shocked. They go, oh yeah, we knew all along that he was going to do this. Okay, but that doesn't change the fact that it was bad. But because people say it, you can cool people up. You can cause them not to be as sensitive to these issues, and that's what happens with these kings. That's one comment. The second comment about burning of the Torah is actually the Rishonim. It's Machloket in the Perush Mishnah and Tanit. Right? It says, Chamisha Dvarim Yirula Abotenu, right, B'Shiva B'Sarat Tumuz, and Chamisha Dvarim Yirula Abotenu B'Tisha B'Av. One of those items is Sarafet HaTorah, that the Torah was burnt. So there are two opinions about what Sarafet Torah is there. It's either Apustumus, right, that it was a Roman who burnt the Torah. The other possibility is that it was the kings of, right, our kings that burnt the Torah. And here you have these examples of kings who, Sarafet HaTorah, kings that burnt the Torah. And that might be what it's referencing in the Mishnah in Tanit. All right, now, Amar Le Rav, the Rav of Armarim, Nehma, Lo Manu, Et Yoyakim. Yoyakim is so evil. I mean, he says, nobody, they didn't know how to anger before me. I'm going to do the real thing. Then how come Yoyakim is not classified as one of the Malachim that doesn't get Olam Haba? Because it says, what, you're going to say he didn't get it because of this pasuk? All the other things that Yoyakim did, and all the disgusting, right, evils, abominable actions that he took, and himself love, and everything about him? He was chokek, the shame of Avodah Zarah on his amah, on his member, that he would carved in the shame Shemayim on his amato. So either way, I would suggest that both of them are pretty bad, right? Since both of them are evil and horrible things that Yoyakim did, how could you suggest that the reason Yoyakim didn't get it is because the pasuk says he was only this bad? He was horrible. He's horrible. Why isn't he included in those kings that doesn't get Olam Haba? So Amar Leib Lachim Lo Shamati says, I don't have an answer to you with the king. We'll get that. The answer to that will be dealt with tomorrow. But he says, but Behejotot Shamati, I do have something about Hejotot. There's one Hejot which should have been in this list and is not included in this list. Who's that? Why didn't they include Micha? Now Micha is interesting. Micha is interesting because he's the first individual to institutionalize Avodah Zarah. He's the first one to make a central Avodah Zarah. He ends up taking up to Shevet Dan up in the north after he leaves right, the area, or his Levi and his Avodah Zarah taken by Shevet Dan as they pass through him and Har Ephraim. They take it up to Dan. But before that, he established or institutionalized the Avodah Zarah. And it's clear that Chazal view him as the beginning, again, of Avodah Zarah, that Yeravam is a derivative of Michan. That's what we saw before. Yeravam ben Nevat. Right, exactly. So I spoke about there that Nevat is Sherem Bech and Micha because Yeravam, who institutionalized it as a king in Israel, right, the Ben Nevat is the Ben of Micha. He's the spiritual son of Micha, who's the first to institutionalize the Avodah Zarah. So now, why is Micha included here? He told Mitzuyado of Deirat Rachim. Because he did chesed. He did achnasad orchim. It's an unbelievable statement about the power of achnasad orchim here. The president says achnasad orchim protects him from
losing Olam Haba despite the evil that he had done. Besides the first one, it was the first to institutionalize Avodah Zarah. The next thing, we can skip it. Shneamar, there is no such pasuk in the Torah. Kol Aver v'Shavel Levim. There's no such pasuk. The Shneamar, the way the Marshar reads it is that Shneamar is a new statement, and they leave this out and goes on the next pasuk. So there's no proof to this. He said, if you really want to say the next pasuk is a proof, maybe you can say the next pasuk of proof is Vavar Bayam Tzara Vikav Bayam Galim, which is that if you go through the ocean of misfortune, and he hits the waves of the ocean, so just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not punish Micha when he goes through the Yam Suf with the Avodah Zarah, so it's over here, he didn't punish him when he was institutionalizing Avodah Zarah because of the fact that he did Chesed, because of the Achnasat Orchim that he did. Right, the more likely scenario is that there is no Shneamar over here. And then this is a new statement. That Hashem went through, passed through the sea of unfortunate, the ocean of misfortune, and he hit down the waves. Now Rashi gives one interpretation as Pesel Micha that we're talking about over here, is that when Moshe takes Yosef out of the Nilus, in order to bring him back to Eretz Yisrael, he uses the Shem of Mifurash. He uses a petek with the Shem of Mifurash and throws it into the water. Micha goes and rescues that petek and takes it with him through the Yam Suf, and then he uses that to build the Egel. So what is the idea here is that he was protected from the Yam Suf. He wasn't drowned in the Yam Suf, despite the fact that he had taken the Shem Hashem, was passing through the Yam Suf, in order to build, in the end, to bring Avodah Zarah. That's one possibility. The other possibility is that he actually carried idols. He actually carried Avodah Zarah through the Yam Suf, and he wasn't drowned by the Yam Suf. And that's what it means. That even though the bad or the evil was going through the Yam Suf, Hashem stopped the waters. He didn't allow them to be drowned. That Micha survived and went through this. Tanya, Rabbi Natan Omer, Migrav, Lishiloh, Gimel Milim. There were only three meal between Grav and Shiloh. Shiloh is the spiritual center of Klal Yisrael at that time. Right, that's where the Mishkan is. And Grav is where Pesel Micha is. So then it says, Vaya Ashana Maracha Vashan Pesel Micha Mitarbim Zebezeh. And the smoke from Pesel Micha was mixing with the smoke from Mishkan Shiloh. That means that they were of the Beit Avodah Zarah and the Beit Shiloh were so close together that the smoke from their Karbanot were mixing together up above. So Bikesh Machesh Shere the Dochafo, Machesh Shere wanted to knock him off, get rid of him, leave him alone because he is Machnis Orchim. On this, the peoples of Pelegish B'Gifa, the parts of Pelegish were punished. You were not worried about my kavod, achvodo, pasum adam, mechitim, you're worried about the kavod of Bnei Adam. So this happens to be a very famous, the Ramban al Torah brings this down. Ramban al Torah actually is found, obviously Pelegish B'Gifa is found in the story in Sefer Shoftim, but the Ramban al Torah in Parshat Va'era brings this as a part of his commentary on Sodom Ve'Amora. And he says that which happened in Sodom Ve'Amora was much worse than that which happened in Pelegish B'Gifa. Then he goes on to explain, he says, let me tell you something about Pelegish B'Gifa. And he goes on to explain the whole story of Pelegish B'Gifa and about what was wrong with happening in Pelegish B'Gifa. I heard from Rav Aaron Lichtenstein at one point in time that this Gemara is the source for why the people of Klal Yisrael, when they go to attack Bnei Binyamin, they get killed. Because here, this was the statement of Hashem, you didn't worry about my kavod, but you worried about the kavod of Bnei Adam. What does it mean you didn't worry about my kavod? You had Garav, you had Pesel Micha right by Mishkan Shiloh, and that didn't irk you, that didn't bother you. You had Bnei Binyamin, they do something wrong, right, they did, which was an awful thing that they did by Pelegim Shikah. All of a sudden, you're ready to kill out Shevet Binyamin and take the din into your own hands. So why is it when it comes to, you know, Ben Adam Lechaviro, here you stand up and you're willing to kill. Comes to Ben Adam Lemakom, who cares? Right, smoke here, you have Shiloh and Garab next to each other. Why does that matter? Because a person who goes and executes the other individuals and punishes them for, right, the evil that they're doing, that has to come from someone who is a Tahor, a tzaddik. It can't be that someone who is evil goes out and punishes others. When you go and punish others, you have to be of a standing that you can punish others, that you have to be in a standing of righteousness that you can go and punish others. So here you come, you have the Bnei Yisrael going to punish Bnei Binyamin, and they're doing it. They take the law into their hands, they're going to punish Bnei Binyamin, and yet they don't take care of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. They weren't of the standing where they could do this. If they didn't worry about Kvod Hashem, they didn't worry about Ben Adam the Makom, then Ben Adam the Chemiro shouldn't have been on the top burner. They shouldn't have been the ones to go out and execute Bnei Binyamin. They should have considered, Kodesh Baruch Hu, they should have considered their standing before they went ahead and executed Bnei Binyamin. So Rabbi Aaron Lexi says about this, and then says about Amalek as well, with Shaul in the battle with Amalek. But it's a nice understanding of the Gemara over here. What was Hashem irked by in the sense that they went to attack Bnei Binyamin? They were right. They should have attacked. Binyamin did something awful. But the problem is the context in which they're going to kill Bnei Binyamin is in the context, or as in the background, the fact that the smoke of Mishkan Shiloh and the smoke of Pesel Micha are mixing. You know, that there isn't the background or the context in which they do it is wrong. And therefore they are punished by being killed. Many of them are killed from Bnei Yehuda and Bnei Yisrael for attacking Bnei Binyamin at that time. Now, Amar Rabbi Yochanan b'shem Rabbi Yosi ben Kisma gedola legima shechika shnei b'shmechot ben Yisrael. Hachnazat Orchim is so important that it distanced two families from Klal Yisrael. It's Ammon and Moab. Shnemar, adavar shelo kidmo etchem b'lechem u'b'mayim. That they didn't come and greet you when you came out of Eretz Mitzrayim. They didn't come and greet you. They didn't do a chnasat orchim. Therefore, they're pushed out of Klal Yisrael. Rabbi Yochanan today, Amar Rabbi Yochanan says, "Merchakto min akrovim, the distance those that are close, or makaravet that rochukim brings close those that are far away. Malamet einim einayim min harishayim causes the eyes of the rishayim to be right. Hashem to forgive the rishayim. Mashrish shchina on nivyei abal brings the shchina on the nivyei abal. Shigato alo ole zadon, and accidents in it become zadon are considered to be bit mezid. All right, we'll go through these tomorrow. All the examples that Rabbi Yochanan gives and the proofs for his examples. We'll stop here.